Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I had to be here today. I could not miss this celebration. Of course, the main role was up to Mr. Minister, State Minister for Foreign Affairs. We have just one foreign affairs and defense policy in Portugal. Presidents change, governments change, parliamentary majorities change, but for over 40 years, the same policies. And it's up to the State Minister for Foreign Affairs to lead this policy, everyday foreign affairs policy. And he's also a university professor. So it was quite a lesson, a short but impressive lesson. And the main statement of this session. But I had to be here. I could not miss this celebration for two reasons, a personal and an institutional one. A personal one. This committee was founded in 1969, still during the dictatorship. 1969, what a year, what a year. I was a university student, and the long-lasting prime minister had been replaced by his short-term successor. The regime was coming to the end. Not just the regime, but also the empire, the colonial empire. A question of not even 10 years. The committee was founded with the main idea, a link between state and government on one hand, and society, civil society, we would say today, on the other hand. But behind this reason, that was a strange reason in the dictatorship, there were other implicit reasons and collateral advantages. One, not reducing NATO commitment to a regime and a government. Second, preparing for an inevitable transition or rupture that should never damage the NATO spirit. To avoid the danger of having at the same time the end of a regime and a crisis in the membership of NATO. Well, in 1971, I was 22, 23 years old, 21, 22. I was invited by the committee for a forum in Brussels and Luxembourg. And with me, two dozens of students, apparently the leading students in different universities, the two Lisbon universities, the Coimbra and Oporto universities, and we traveled by train to Brussels and Luxembourg, and we attended those fora. It was quite new. It was the initiative of the committee, without the control of the government. And so what happened is that, by chance, or by a subtle coincidence, those invited young students became, later on in democracy, leading personalities in business, cultural leaders, healthcare leaders, party leaders, ministers and MPs, and one President of the Republic and one Secretary General of the United Nations. Well, this happened by chance, but it happened, if there is chance in this kind of choices. So there is a very personal reason to be here today. There is another personal reason. Just after the revolution, during the revolution, after the revolution, I joined the committee. And to join the committee was quite a strange thing for a member of the younger generation. We were seen as a kind of servants of American imperialism at that time. Portugal was running to the left. There was no right-wing parties, just center-left, left, ultra-left, radical-left, and ultra-radical-left. And even the Conservative Party had as a main goal to achieve a society without classes. Well, that was the ambiance when this committee started explaining what was NATO for and how vital it was, NATO, at the birth of our democracy. So, this is a personal reason, a kind of memory and gratitude. And then there is institutional reason. As I told you, I have just one single policy. And this one has been stated by Mr. Minister. But I'd like to add, as a kind of confirmation, the full support of the President of the Portuguese Republic. It was obvious. Anyway, it's good to be said. There is full solidarity concerning NATO and Portuguese commitment in NATO. And gratitude. We are grateful because we recall that NATO was very important during the dictatorship. It was a kind of a glimpse of democracy, a kind of a sign of hope when thinking of democracy and rule of law and human rights at the time of an authoritarian regime. It was also the idea of feeling oneself belonging to the same political hemisphere. We belong to that hemisphere. We belong to Europe. We had our allies, our historical allies in NATO, England, our oldest ally since the 14th century. Denmark, also allied, coming from the first dynasty. Then all many other European countries. United States of America. Portugal was the first neutral country to recognize the independence of the United States of America. And it was toasted with wine of Madeira, which is a Portuguese wine, by the founding fathers. And then also Canada. So that meant, and with every other European countries, with the enlargement of NATO, that meant during our dictatorship, a way to democracy. And then during the revolution, at the birth of our democracy, NATO was a sign of democracy and a fight for values and principles stressed by Mr. Minister. It was a difficult time, those 2 years of revolution, and of building a new democracy with a transitional period of military control of political power for 6 years more, till 82. And then, in democracy, not thinking of the past, what we owe to NATO, because NATO was essential in the past, it is essential in the present. Our minister has just told you, we are grateful to NATO, because NATO understood there is a difference today and for the future between allies and partners. We have many partners all over the world, important, powerful partners. They are not our allies. Our allies in NATO are our allies. And then also the way NATO understood this 360 degrees vision of the world, at the globalized world. The way it looked, started looking at the southern flank, not just the northern or northeastern or eastern flank. Because the actors are the same, just the same. Those that act in the eastern borders are the same that are acting in the southern borders. And I'm speaking of states and I'm speaking of non-governmental structures, organizations, like terrorist groups. There they are, spreading in the Mediterranean Sea, in Near and Middle East, but also in Africa, Northern Africa, Central Africa, Southern Africa. different forms, inorganic forms of terrorism. Because NATO understood how important it was to deal with the new cyber strategies and indirect collateral strategies maneuvering through the political systems and the party systems in Europe and elsewhere. And because NATO understood, Mr. Minister has stressed it also, how important is to deal with the Eastern neighbor without discussing whether it still is a global power or just a regional power, living as if it is really, still is a global power. And then understood emergent, new emergent global powers coming from Asia, China, of course, but India also. And how important it is, this kind of struggle, economic struggle, that is kind of a century struggle between West and East about the future center of the economic world. Will it be as it used to be before the Industrial Revolution in the East? Or it will go on being in the West as it is happening after the Industrial Revolution, first in England, then in the United States of America, and in the West as a whole? It's quite an important debate, economic debate, with ups and downs, and cycles, different cycles. And in all this change of context, how important it is, and now I'm repeating the same words. Our minister has just expressed about how important it is public opinion, how important it is social adhesion, how important it is that we can mobilize the best thought, the best thinkers, the best scholars, the best students, so that NATO doesn't become just a problem of politicians and of the armed forces, which would be a drama in such a mediatic, inorganic democracy as it is today's democracy. We must have popular support. And nobody supports what he or she don't understand. It's up to the leaders to explain NATO. Why NATO in the beginning? Why NATO today? Why NATO in the future? And NATO together with the global vision where United Nations has a role to play and with other regional organizations. Also that we must explain. There is no opposition between NATO and European defense initiatives. On the contrary, they are complementary. One needs the others. And it's so useful to make it understandable, not create noise and trouble where there is and should be transparency. We are very proud of our missions abroad. NATO missions, European missions, United Nations missions, in most of the cases altogether. Altogether. Because the United Nations recognize how important it is NATO's role, because European presence works together with NATO present or with the United Nations present. And there we are, with our armed forces, in difficult places. But wait, one needs to be present there to stabilize politically, economically, socially, geostrategically, a situation that with these quick migrations could become a problem for Europe and for the whole alliance we belong to in the very near future. That's the other reason why I should be here, an institutional reason. So the citizen is here to thank the committee for the 60s, late 60s and 70s, that unforgettable experience of being considered far right just because one was at the center of the events, but meaning thinking of the then present and of the future, nowadays present. It's a question of memory and gratitude. And then, of course, an institutional reason. This gratitude, this didn't disappear with the turning of the ages and of the years. No. The same gratitude to the committee. Because we need you even more today than at the end of the 60s and in the 70s or in the 80s or in the 90s. We need you in a very enlarged role. That's what, not just as a citizen, but as the President of the Portuguese Republic and as Supreme Commander of the Armed Forces, I had to tell you. I'm very proud of the work of this committee. I'm very proud of our belonging to NATO.